It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. And just a side note here on our programming, the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump resumes at noon, with the trial moving to a period of debate. And you can hear live NPR coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio's News and Classical Network and online at WPR.org. Here in the Ideas Network, we'll keep you up to date and invite you into the conversation for analysis. Right now, we're exploring the politics of sports. Pro athletes are in the spotlight, and so when they take on social justice issues, it gets attention. One example is 1968. U.S. Olympians Tommy Smith and John Carlos, who'd won gold and bronze, they raised black glove fists during the medal ceremony at the Summer Games there in Mexico City. It became one of the most iconic sports images of the 20th century, a black power salute that rocked the world. Here's Tommy Smith reflecting on it last year on CBS News.
People could not understand. It was not about the flag. It was a chance to heighten the idea that we must eradicate stupidity called racism.
How do you feel about athletes sharing their views? Should they be allowed to express themselves or just focus on the sport? What will you be watching for in the Super Bowl? We're at 800-642-1234. Jason Quito Lopez is a postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Communication Arts at UW-Madison, where he teaches sports media and media ethics. Jason, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Well, let's start in 1968 there. We heard from Tommy Smith, John Carlos raising their fists. This is something these Olympic medalists had carefully planned to do ahead of stepping on that podium. What was their message? Remind us.
Their message was to speak out against social injustice and to sort of raise concerns about, you know, injustices that are happening to black communities and black people at the time. And it was obviously really powerful. And you noted that it caused ripples across the sporting universe. And it's because they took the opportunity to be able to do this at a time and in a place where these kind of messages usually aren't sent. There's a lot of discussion about how, you know, the Olympics usually likes to send messages about it being like a time of unity and where all nations are sort of one thing rather than a divided thing or things with separate, you know, sort of ideologies. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that they took this time to stand up and against the usual messages that are sent in the Olympics obviously caused that those kinds of ripples. It was pretty interesting that way.
How has their image on the podium held up, you know, 50 years, half century later?
It's been really interesting, right? Because at the time it was, you know, pretty contentious in that, you know, people were either, you know, sort of taking an opportunity to say this is something that shouldn't happen or should happen, something that's important or not, as the case might be. But as time goes on, these things tend to get sort of appropriated and kind of sort of folded into the, you know, sort of sporting universe. So I think it's common now for people to use the image without thinking about what exactly was being said at the time, you know, and how that might have parallels to what's going on today. So you'll see, you know, the image on shirts or, you know, in magazines and stuff without actually people thinking about what exactly they were saying about the time and the place. And even how, like, their message might be parallel with somebody like Colin Kaepernick. So people who would be fine talking about these two Olympic athletes and thinking what they did was right and good, but not thinking about, you know, how what they're doing might be similar to what Colin Kaepernick has been saying.
Of the 49ers taking a knee for the national anthem.
Yes, indeed.
What are some of the most common reasons people think that sports and politics should not mix, should not interfere with each other?
I think there's sort of a contemporary reason for that and sort of maybe a deeper reason for that. So the more contemporary reason is that these sports leagues are kind of branding themselves that way, right? It's in their interest for them to sort of communicate that this is sort of apolitical, sort of, you know, colorblind meritocracy.
We're rising above this.
Exactly, exactly. And pretty much all the sports leagues do that. So when race is acknowledged, it's acknowledged in a way that it's something where we're you know, stepping beyond racism or something of the sort. And so the first answer is that's what the leagues are doing, and that's what they're encouraging themselves to do. That's a message that they're trying to send. But I think at a deeper level, it's easy to think about sports as sort of a meritocracy in and of itself, right? The best get to play, and you know, that's the end of the story, right? And so I always try to encourage my students, or whenever I have conversations like this, for people to think about how sports has always been and always will be a reflection of culture, and therefore there is no sort of stepping outside of culture or politics. There is no space that's free from that.
They will always infuse each other. Mm-hmm. You know, always be interlinked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a couple days from now, millions of people will be watching the Super Bowl. How do big sporting events connect people, capture people's attention, who may not even be huge football fans, but they will be looking for subtle clues of activism?
How people will be looking for subtle clues of activism? Well, I mean, I think the first thing is that people are always taking major cultural events like this to be able to, you know, think about how it's reflecting our contemporary culture, right? And to like enact debates and that are currently happening. So no matter what, that's going to happen just because it's a big cultural event. But I think the Super Bowl in particular, since it has so many eyeballs on it, it's a good opportunity for people to particularly like sort of hone in, you know, things like the commercials. Which, you know, there's always a commercial or two that people are going to be upset about, that are going to be, you know, like, I don't agree with this for this or that reason. The halftime show that everybody's checking in on, you know, everyone's looking for things in there too. And I just think it's a good opportunity for people like to access it, even if you're not interested in football.
We're talking with Jason Quito Lopez, who teaches media cultural studies at UW-Madison. We're looking at athletes taking a stance on social justice issues. How do you feel about athletes sharing their political views on and off the field or the court? Should they be allowed to express themselves or just focus on the sport? How do you disconnect the two? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Teresa now in Madison with thoughts on this. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I wanted to say that I think when our athletes are able to display their individuality, whether that's a political statement, a religious, you know, Tim Tebow praying, I think it's exactly the best of America on display, that we are about freedom and individuality with a collective goal. Look at what a lot of our athletic teams are about. It's about that goal of winning, but it brings all of the individuality, whether it's race, political views, religion, together. And I think it's exactly what's right about America. We should not be afraid of that.
Teresa, thanks for those thoughts. Teresa sees this freedom of speech and expression on display as, you know, as America not being persecuted.
Yeah, I think Teresa really is picking up on something important, which is that no matter what we're going to get in sports, there's always going to be individualistic expression. And so I think a lot of the athletes end up getting criticized when they sort of cut against the normal kind of messages that we get in the sport. You know, so for instance, you know, you're like with Colin Kaepernick again, with him kneeling, he's supposed to stand with his, you know, hand over his heart, and then when he takes a knee in order to communicate something else, all of a sudden that's supposed to be a deviation and supposed to be abnormal or something, right? And people sometimes get upset with that. But I like Teresa's idea that, you know, whether you decide to stand with your hand over your heart or whether you decide to kneel, you're still making a political expression no matter what, right? And that's an individual decision that people are making that sends a message regardless of what you decide to do.
Well, the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, as you talk about Colin Kaepernick, brought attention to the issue of police brutality in 2016, kneeling in protest during the national anthem. And he opened up about this to reporters about his decision to protest. And this is from 2016.
There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
What made Kaepernick's comments there, his actions, so controversial in the NFL?
Well, like I just said, I think it was the deviation from the norm. You know, these leagues are built around sending particular sets of messages that they've you know, taken to be a part of their brand, right? And so one is, you know, a support for a particular kind of support for the American military, right? Mm-hmm. And that gets expressed and gets tied to certain notions of patriotism. And so when somebody deviates from that, it's often taken to be anti those things, right? So even though he was speaking about something very specific and he's always been very clear about what he's been speaking out against, it was taken to be anti-American or anti-military just because it cut against the grain of how things usually go in that realm.
How did the NFL respond? How did fans respond?
Not well. The NFL sort of endured it for a season, and then he was sort of not hired by the NFL and still hasn't been hired. In fact, his old team, the Niners, are now playing in the Super Bowl, which, you know, he could be feasibly, like in another universe, the quarterback of that team. He alleged in a lawsuit that he was being blackballed. It was settled out of court. A lot of people still think that he was indeed sort of kicked out of the league because of this expression. The fans could also be really rough. So I will say, though, I think a lot of it's easy to go to the negative side of things, in that, you know, you'll see YouTube videos of people like burning his uniform in effigy, which is, you know, really horrible imagery. But a lot of people really supported him. You know, there was also a lot of, like, people who came to his side, a lot of famous musicians and actors came to his
and
side.
And athletes as well.
And other athletes as well. Yeah. So people want to focus on Kaepernick, but, you know, there were other athletes both in the NFL and outside of the NFL. You know, I always take an opportunity to shout out Megan Rapinoe, you know, took a knee with him and in solidarity with him as well, you know.
We're at the intersection of sports and politics. What happens when athletes take up causes? Jason Quito Lopez is our guide. He teaches media cultural studies courses at UW-Madison. Do you plan on watching the Super Bowl? What are you most excited about? What are you most excited about? The commercials, the halftime, the game itself? What messages will you watch for from the athletes, from the ads? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. From hashtag take the knee to linked arms to a black gloved raised fist, we're exploring athletes' displays of unity and defiance on the field that reverberate through time. Should sports and politics mix? Why or why not? How do you feel about political protests and expression at sporting events? What will you be watching for on Super Bowl Sunday in terms of social messaging? We're at 800-642-1234. Jason Quito Lopez teaches media cultural studies at UW-Madison, and he stays with us. Jason, we have an email here from Paul in Eau Claire who asks, do athletes overestimate their own importance? Paul doesn't follow athletes or athletics, thinking that their opinion matters at all strikes Paul as kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because, you know, at the end of the day, they're citizens, just like you and me and, you know, anybody you could walk on the street. And so, you know, they might be more or less educated about the things that they're speaking about, just like, you know, any other person. And but I think there's something that's on the one hand, kind of neat about that, right? That the fact that everyday people can be like brought into the spotlight and then therefore have the opportunity to be able to speak on things that we normally don't get to hear in, you know, mainstream media, right? Like the idea that Colin Kaepernick can take an issue that disproportionately affects, you know, a certain group of people and then raise it to light, uses fame and the opportunity to sort of raise this kind of thing to light, I think is actually kind of neat and interesting.
Carmen from Milwaukee called in to say that Colin Kaepernick was allowed his freedom of speech, but is still being punished for it. Let's turn to the Houston Rockets general manager, Daryl Morey, who caused controversy after tweeting in support of pro-democracy demonstrators in Hong Kong back in October. What kind of criticism did you see in those tweets?
Well, I think as somebody who studies sports in the way that I do, I think what was interesting, The thing that I ended up focusing on was his relationship to the NBA, right, and what that represented for the NBA itself and his relationship to the NBA. So the NBA is currently, you know, and all leagues actually are trying to be more international, right? They're trying to think beyond the boundaries of the United States. And the NBA in particular is trying to make inroads into China. And so this tweet from a general manager, he's a general manager for the Houston Rockets, this tweet from somebody who's in a position of power was a major threat to their business ends.
Off message for the NBA.
Exactly. And so this was a threat. But also, you know, he's also an influential figure too. And so they were here we have another case, just like with Colin Kaepernick, where we have somebody going against how the league would prefer to brand themselves. So in fact, I think I saw a report recently that it cost them, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, actually. They're trying to say, and we could, you know, doubt what, you know, we could talk about whether that's really true and whether this one tweet actually did that. But it's clear that there's the message out there that this was bad for business and bad for their brand.
Well, looking back at the Super Bowl coming up here this weekend, ex-NFL star Anquan Boldin will talk about the fatal police shooting of his cousin in a TV ad. And this ad has already been circulating. It's part of the NFL's Inspire Change initiative, tackling social issues such as police brutality.
I think far too long we've avoided the conversation. And I think by avoiding that conversation, we are where we are now. But I think anytime you bring a situation to light, you have the ability to deal with it.
Okay, so what is the significance of their featuring this retired NFL player, and what is the message?
So I'm always really interested in things like this. So in particular, I'm interested in athletes being able to speak out and sort of through their the leagues and sort of like how the leagues portray themselves. And so since the leagues are always trying to represent themselves as sort of pushing narratives that are kind of like live and real, you know, you actually get to know the athletes and you see their real personalities on display, and that they enact these sort of unscripted events out on the field, both on and off the field, kind of like a soap opera, right? Like a real life soap opera. But with that comes, you know, them being able to use that opportunity to sort of speak out on things that they think are important to them, such as, you know, police violence or racism or something. But then when they do so, then the league has now this on the one hand, they have to sort of deal with it, and they kind of turn it into an opportunity for themselves to kind of encompass it, right, and to kind of like swallow it up as well. And so
it's almost like they can't have both worlds in a way. They can't rein things in and control things, and yet they can also see the benefit of the expression itself.
Indeed, that's exactly right. And so these kind of media campaigns are their attempt to be on the one hand, right? The first hand that you're talking about, the control of it, right? To sort of get a hold of the message and adapt it to something that is controllable and something that's more on message. And so so this sort of Inspire Change, I believe it's called, is that right? Inspire Change.
Yep.
It comes in in response to a lot of the athlete activism, like Colin Kaepernick and LeBron James and other NBA athletes wearing the I Can't Breathe shirt to memorialize Eric Gardner. They started these media campaigns called like Let's Listen Together and Voices that are all opportunities for them to be able to kind of get control of this. So like, well, the athletes are talking about social justice, so let's talk about social justice. But they don't talk about, you know, police brutality in the same way that the athletes were talking about it. They don't talk about racism in the same way that athletes were talking about it. They sort of, if you go and look at it, they kind of like bend it to talk about like community organizing and like it being a matter of dialogue between
run some filters on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking with Jason Quito Lopez, who teaches sports media courses at UW-Madison. We're looking at athlete protests, social justice issues through time. Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mike now in Madison with thoughts on this. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Colin Kaepernick will forever be tied to this issue of the excessive police brutality. His image will be ingrained in everybody's mind, kneeling at the sidelines with his big hair, and it's kind of like a piece of art to see that image, because gutturally it brings up emotions in people, either for or against him, And I think even the NFL, by keeping him out of the league, has actually amplified his voice. And I think in the future, people will see that this issue, he will become an iconic figure, and that image will become so memorialized in people in this issue. And I think it's something that was necessary. You know, and the only other big individual in sports I can think of is Lou Gehrig. You know, the disease that took him, that is really tied to his name, and you know, that again is another social cause that people fought to try to cure that disease.
Mike, thanks so much for those reflections. Jason?
So I think there's a few things in there. First off, I kind of like the idea that maybe by blackballing him in that way, or allegedly blackballing him from the league, maybe they ended up amplifying his message in some way. I think that's interesting, right? Like, you know, just because it's a, you know, it's a corporation that might make bad decisions and therefore like end up doing things that it didn't intend to do. So I think Mike might be onto something there, perhaps. But I also think it's interesting that the idea of it being iconic, right? Because I think that there's a way in which that brings it back to where we started with the Tommy Smith
in 1968.
Right? Where like the idea is that these things tend to kind of get appropriated in ways, and the message tends to change. And so, you know, could we, you know, 30 years from now, look back on this protest and have like shirts, you know, where like everybody's wearing shirts with Colin Kaepernick kneeling on the side net? You know, like I think that could certainly be the case.
We're short on time here, but the passing of Kobe Bryant, any images there that stick with you and the things that Kobe stood for?
So I'm from LA, and I'm a Lakers fan, and so I've been kind of like keeping sort of track by text, you know, like how people are taking the news, and it seems pretty rough. I've got a buddy who lives within a couple of blocks of the Staples Center, and he's just been kind of like keeping me up to date on like what people are doing, and so the expression. So like it's interesting to see how that you know, it's an interesting case of like sports bringing people together. But I, you know, like it's also interesting as a media scholar to think about, you know, how people are covering the case too. You know, with you know, he had the, you know, like all, he's an all-star, he's a father. There's the Colorado case too, where he was accused of rape, and so like watching how media people deal with that has also been really interesting as well.
Jason, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jason Quito Lopez teaches sports media courses at UW-Madison. Just ahead, we look at the long-storied history of log cabins. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.